The following Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, March 14th, 2022.
The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She knows everything you do, because the woman in your life is you.
Everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holt, and I'm your host. And with me at the board is my co-producer, my engineer, my webmaster, my loving partner, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning, Elaine.
Wow, you know, we just came back from four beautiful, beautiful days in the mountains, so it's just amazing to be here. I'm very happy to be here this morning. It was a beautiful, beautiful day here in Sonoma County. Well, once again, happy Women's History Month, and to begin the celebration, right now, to continue the celebration, actually, I have a special guest joining me in the studio, a woman by the name of Judy Harden Chung, who is the corresponding secretary, newsletter editor, and photographer for the Redwood Empire Chinese Association, RECA, and author of the book. This is so interesting. Photography. It's a combination of poetry and photography, and the book is really a beautiful piece of work. You know, for today's show, you know, I want to do something very different. You know, it is National Women's History Month, and you know, one of the things that happens is oftentimes our women of color are not paid the attention that they deserve for all their activism and all the things that they do. And so for this show, I've decided I'm going to honor the Asian women and their accomplishments. And, you know, I'm very familiar with the Redwood Empire Chinese Association. And so to give us some insight, you know, I decided to have Judy on. And, you know, actually, she's Caucasian, but what happened with her is that she ended up marrying a Chinese man and became very, very involved with the Redwood Empire Chinese Association that we're going to share. And she will be able to give us a lot of insight into the Chinese-American culture here in Northern California. And I want to highlight more Asian women who are often not recognized for their accomplishment. I want to do a special shout out to Nancy Wang, who I have had on the program several times, for her dedication in keeping the Chinese culture alive and for her overall contribution to the community. And, you know, it was in 1988, Sonoma County had many Chinese and Asian immigrants new to the America with very little communication skill. The opportunities for them to associate with other Chinese or Asian people was very limited. And what that did for Nancy Wang was all of a sudden she said, hey, I've got to do something. And she began her work, and I think it's probably about 88, 98, 208, God, about 35 years now that she has been doing this. And, you know, it just shows how one human being can get an idea and say, hey, this is not right, these people need support, gets her, you know, her finger on the phone, starts dialing her friends, and before you know it, here, 35 years later, you have this wonderful, wonderful group. And Ken and I have been very honored to be able to attend. You know, Ken does Tai Chi. We've done Tai Chi performances there. So thank you, Judy, Nancy. Thank you so much for what you have done. And, you know, as I did my research, I found that to define Asian women is quite a challenge. And I welcome any suggestion for guests, and give me a call and educate me a bit more in this area. And you could always email me at elaine@womenspaces.com. That's elaine@womenspaces.com. And I would consider anybody that you would recommend. Well, it is Women's History Month. And it's very important that we understand it, we know it, and every program, I'm going to give you a little bit of history about it. And, you know, last week we had Molly McGregor on, who was one of the co-founders of the National Women's History Project, who is now called the National Women's History Alliance. So let me give you a little bit of history here. In 1980, the National Women's History Project, WHP was founded in Santa Rosa, California, by Molly McGregor. Oh, my goodness. My voice, I'm a little excited. You know, I came back from the vacation, and, you know, it's kind of hard to acclimate. So let's just start slow, Elaine. Wonderful that Molly McGregor was one of the co-founders, along with Mary Rustadter, a wonderful, wonderful woman. She passed away several years ago. Maria Cuevas, who's still around with us, Paula Hemmett, and Betty Morgan, to broadcast women's historical achievements. The NWHP started by leading a coalition that successfully lobbied Congress to designate March as National Women's History Month, now celebrated across the land. Again, a group of women got together. Molly and I went to Sonoma State, and I remember we were walking, and we said, you know, Molly was telling me about women in art, and I said to Molly, I says, you mean there are women artists? I mean, that's how little we knew about women and art, which was amazing, and that was the first step. And here we are several years later, and now we're the National Women's History Alliance, which is really, really very known. It is known nationally as the only clearinghouse providing information and training in multicultural women's history for educators, community organizations, and parents, and anyone wanting to expand their understanding of women's contribution to U.S. history. You know, we were away for 4 days. We went up to Laytonville. My daughter and her husband have a beautiful, beautiful piece of property, and we were there with the grandchildren and the great-grandchildren. And it was really amazing when I looked at some of the books that the great-grandchildren were reading. It's all about empowering. It's all about lifting. It's all about letting people know, particularly young girls, that you're okay. You know, that you have a right to speak out, that you have a right to have desires, that you have a right to dress the way you want. You can be whatever way that you want to be. And we've come a long way. We really, you know, there's that old saying, you've come a long way, baby. Well, you know, we got to be careful, because there's powers out there that would like to just trip us up and say, no, women cannot have a choice. You know, we have made a lot of progress, folks, and hopefully there's enough women out there listening that are willing to stand up and be heard and not be afraid of it all. You know what I'm saying? It's really, I don't know what to say anymore. You know, I heard on the news, I was listening to Amy Goodman, and I just cried. I mean, what else could I do? You know, here we had this wonderful, wonderful time in the mountains. We're having a good time. And my son-in-law decides he's going to turn the television on to see. And these are his exact words. He says, I want to turn the TV on to see if we still are here. I thought, what are you talking about? He says, well, you know, there's a war going on. And sure enough, we turned on the TV. And what's the first thing we see? They bombed a maternity hospital. Women and children. This is unacceptable to me. I was listening to a broadcast on another station, and they were talking about people that are being, radio shows are being shut off. You know, all of a sudden people are afraid to speak about certain things. Well, I'm not afraid. I'm against war. I'm against war 1,000%. And one of the things that I need to really express is that I do not understand for the life of me that we can go and we have computers. I mean, I love my computer, the things that I can do on it, the people I can talk to across the globe. You know, we've advanced in medicine beyond the pale. I mean, Ken was in the hospital a few years ago, and God, if it would have been, say, in the 1800s, he would have been gone. But they were able to bring him back to life and be able to take care of him and give him some sort of life for the rest of his life. You know, there's so many technological experiments and advances that we've made. But the one thing we have not advanced in, and that's how to communicate with one another, how to sit down at the table and reasonably work things out. I mean, this is our Mother Earth. We're all part of it, each and every one of us. And if you don't even believe in this, just think what we're doing to the future of our children. You know, we may not be having bombs dropping on our front doors like they are in the Ukraine, but it is affecting our children. It's creating fear. It's creating anxiety. It's creating uncertainty. You know, we just pulled ourselves through a pandemic, and now all of a sudden, this war breaks out. I mean, all I can say is shame on the people who are trying to do something that they can't stop this. I mean, I just don't understand it. And, you know, I believe somewhere in the background there's somebody that's making a lot of dollars over this. So, you know, lots to think about, folks. Well, anyway, I'm going to go into our history as our strength a little bit later. But right now I have a few very important announcements to make. First of all, my dear, dear friend, Diana Greger, and she will be on the show at the end of the month. She's doing a wonderful play. It's called Release, Unearthing the Silent Rumblings. In other words, just try to start looking at our inner self, our inner beings that stop us from moving forward. And this is going to be happening at the Congregation Ner Shalom. Oh, boy, I hope I pronounced that right. And it's called it's at the old Katati Cabaret. Oh, I remember that when I first moved to Sonoma County. That was really a fun thing to go to the old Katati Cabaret. It's at 85 Plaza in Katati. It's going to be opening on April 2nd at 7 p.m. It's done by Diana Greger, PhD, playwright. She's the playwright, the director, and the producer. And all you have to do is get tickets. They don't have, you know, what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to go to www.womenspaces.com, and we will have all the information on it. And I'll give you a little bit of a description. This is a Black production that consists of four short plays sure to stir the hearts and minds of the audience. It is an invitation to talk about race in a safe place. Included will be a facilitated conversation and discussion after the show. Well, that in itself inspires me to go. Another announcement that I have to make here. Let me just get my paper. This is really exciting, and this opens up on my birthday, March 18th. I can't believe I'm going to be 82 years old. I know I sound young, but, you know, I'm going to be 82. I was born in 1940. And you know something? From the moment I was conceived, I mean, before I was even born, but the moment I was conceived, we've been at war. One type of war or another. And I'm 82 years old. And you mean to tell me we can't figure a way to do it better? I mean, I don't understand. Maybe there's too many men with their testosterone running around. I don't know what it is, to be honest with you. Well, anyway, they're going to be having a gallery opening. It's going to be happening March 18, 2022 from 5 to 8 p.m. at the Sonoma Community Center in Sonoma at 276 East Napa Street in Sonoma. And if there's anybody has any questions or they want to find out more about it, they can call Charlotte Hedger at 707-931-4166. And this is called Faces. And what a gentleman by the name of Paco Sanchez, who happens to be the son of our president, Alicia Sanchez, here at KBBF, he's going to be doing, took all the pictures. And I believe that Kathleen Finnegan, who's the one who is producing the show, actually wrote some words about it. And the idea was to show the faces of the homeless. And to hear them, to hear what their struggle is and what is happening. You know, education is very important. Sometimes we condemn things without understanding exactly what is happening. And it's so important to understand. You know, there's an old thing, you know, some of us call ourselves Christians. And there's a saying that Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." You know, I don't particularly believe in a God. I believe in a creator. I believe in a higher power. I can't even put a title on it. But I can feel the feeling when I hear that. Blessed are the peacemakers. You know, it's such a beautiful saying. I mean, it really is. And it's important that we look at some of these faces to understand some of the struggles that people are going through. You know, when I came back from the mountains and Ken had a little bit of a cold, and he cuddled up in bed. I gave him some cough medicine, you know. He had some hot tea. You know, we talked about what we're going to have to do. He was a little bit afraid maybe he had COVID. We took a test, and we found out thank God he didn't have it. And I started thinking, if we were in a war zone, you know, and your child was sick, your husband was sick. I mean, think about those things. We have to say no to war. That's all I can say. And, you know, that's what's so interesting about looking at Asian women, because many of the women that are in our country right now that are Asian are all products of war. That's why they came here. They came here because this country is not at war, although we are warring with other nations maybe. But right here, we are very lucky. We have a level of peace. So it's very important that we all stand up, especially women who have children, especially women who have sons that fear to go into the Army or the Navy or whatever. And can you imagine having to kill another human being? I mean, I think it's a violation of birds, to be honest with you, when it comes to bombing. Because here we have this great invention. As far as I'm concerned, the greatest invention that we ever made was the airplane. I mean, we can fly. We can fly to New York. We can fly to Europe. We can do all these wonderful things. And then all of a sudden somebody says, oh, we not only can fly, but what if we put this little thing called a bomb on it and then we go drop it somewhere and don't even know what happens when they drop it? I mean, it's mind-boggling, folks. It's mind-boggling to me. And I hope maybe by me mentioning it or saying something, maybe it'll change. Who knows? Well, our history, like I always try to do, our history is our strength. And we're going to do something a little bit different right now. I'm going to talk a little bit about Asian women. You know, our history is our strength. And in this segment, we're going to do something a little bit different. And I'm going to bring on Judy Chung, who will be helping me. I'm going to do it in two parts. The first part I'm going to be doing is I'm going to handle. I will be talking about Asian women and some of their accomplishments. I'll be doing two women. And then when we come back after the musical break, Judy's going to talk about two local women, because we have a lot of women that are very active in this community and nobody knows about them. I didn't know about these people. I didn't know the accomplishments they had. So it's very important that we know about what these women have done. And also, why is that important, you might ask? Because when you're on the backs of somebody else, it gives you confidence. If they can do it, I can do it. You know, I know when I come on the radio, I'm really nervous, but I listen to Amy Goodman before I go on the air here at the station. And you know what I say to myself? If she can do it, I can do it. So here we go. Our history is our strength. Okay, let's see. Who do I have here today? Okay, the first person that I talked about, I found about, was a woman by the name of Mabel Ping Ha Lee. That's an amazing name. Mabel Ping Ha Lee. She's Chinese, and she was born on October 7th, 1896, and she made her transition in 1966. She was a Chinese-American women's right activist and minister who campaigned for women's suffrage in the United States. Later in life, she actually became a Baptist minister working with the first Chinese Baptist church in Chinatown here in San Francisco. She was born in China. She was raised in New York. She received a bachelor's degree and master's degree from Barnard College of Columbia University and later a doctorate in economics from Columbia University in 1921, becoming the first Chinese woman in the United States to earn a doctorate in economics. In the 1910s, Lee became an activist for women's suffrage and participated, this is so wonderful, in the 1912 New York Women's Suffrage Parade. That's when they had the big horse coming in and it just was amazing, you know, where she rode on horseback. Following the eventual passage of the 19th Amendment in 1920, Lee still was unable to vote. Can you believe this? All the work she did due to her status as a Chinese immigrant over the Chinese Exclusion Act, she would gain the right to vote. She did not gain the right to vote until at least the passage of the Mangan Act in 1943. And I'm going to just give you a little history, because I'm telling you, looking at all this stuff is just amazing to me. Where's that piece of paper? I tell you, I can't find anything. I'm going to have to pass this for right now. I'll come back to it a little bit later. Okay, let's look at the next woman that we're going to look at is really interesting also. It's Helen Zia, Z-I-A, very, very interesting name, Helen Zia. She was the daughter of immigrants from China and has been outspoken on issues ranging from human rights and peace to women's rights and countering hate, violence, and homophobia. She was an activist, award-winning author, and former journalist. In 2000, her first book, Asian American Dreams, The Emergence of an American People, was the finalist for the prestigious Kuriana Pacific Rim Book Prize. Helen received an honorary Doctor of Laws degree from Law School of the City University of New York for bringing important matters of law and civil rights into full view. She is a Fulbright. She is a Fulbright. She was a Fulbright scholar and graduate of Princeton University. I mean, come on, guys. Here's a woman that's born to immigrants, and here, look at all that she accomplished. She was first in co-educational class. Helen is a former executive editor of Miss Magazine and a founding board of chair of the Women's Media Center. Amazing what this woman accomplished. She's still alive. She was profiled in Bill Moyers' PBS series, Becoming American, The Chinese Experience, in 2008. Helen was a torchbearer in San Francisco for the Beijing Olympics amid great controversy. Well, why? It's interesting. They're in Beijing. There's controversy because a Chinese woman is going to be bearing some sort of, involvement in the Olympics. In 2010, she was a witness in the federal marriage equality case decided by the U.S. Supreme Court. Wow, Helen Z. A big shout out to you for what she did. And here's two women that, you know, I always thought, you know, the suffrage movement was only Caucasian women. But when you go into history, that's why our history is our strength, not only for the Caucasian women to understand the accomplishment of Asian women, but for Asian women themselves to see how much they could accomplish and how it is okay to stand up and be heard. Lots of stuff going on. You know, just really quickly, back to the war. You know, I really want people to, I want to encourage my women listeners to go back and read the Mother's Day Proclamation. Very, very important. There is a line in there that says specifically, I will not raise my child to kill another mother's child. Very important to think about that. You know, women, we have a lot of power. We have tremendous power. We bring children forward. We take care of our husbands. We take care of our homes. And majority of women in today's world are out there working. I mean, I watched my daughter, how much work she's doing, how she's taking care of this one, taking care of that one. I was watching my granddaughter also with her two babies. And I thought, women have such a role in this world. We should have the power to say no. I think when I go back and I think of the Iroquois Nation, you know, I'm a great grandmother. I would be on the council. I would be the one who would decide whether we war or not. And I would say war, no. No war. There's got to be a way to sit down. And you know what's so interesting, too? You know, I'm very, very invested in many, many communities. Like I said, I'm involved with the Redwood Empire Chinese Association. I mean, these are all Asian people that I just adore. I'm part of the Black community with the Black Chamber of Commerce, with Blacks United, all these different groups. And I want to tell you something, folks. Once women start sitting down and have a cup of tea together, the barriers are gone. You know, I know, like my friend, my dear friend Nancy Rogers, who lives across the street from me, I know she's African American. She knows I'm white. So what? We're both mothers. We're both wives. We're both active in our community. And I can say that about many, many, many other women. So there's a lot to think about. And we have to take our power. We have to stand up and say, stop. We are the ones who bring forward life. We hold the whole mystery of the universe in our bodies. And we have a right to say, you are not going to take our children anymore. I mean, can you imagine? Come on. Bombing a maternity hospital. I mean, who on that plane is pulling the switch. And you know what I think? I think whoever pulled it did not know that that's who they're bombing. You know, that was, remember, there was an author by the name of Howard Zinn who became a real activist. And what he said was, it was during World War II. He was a bombardier. He was bombing, actually, he was bombing in Berlin. And he said, for some reason, he asked himself the question, what happens when that bomb falls? And once he answered that question, he became a person who talked for the rest of his life and promoted peace. Once you begin to realize what you're doing, nobody wants to kill anybody else. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, I can barely kill an ant, let alone another human being. Well, that's enough of my ranting and raving for the morning. We're going to take a musical break. And you know, it's National Women's History Month. And you know, the one song that put us on the map was I Am Woman, which was written by Helen Reddy. But I have my favorite song, and that's by Pink Martini. I love that, Pink Martini. So, Ken, let's go ahead. We're going to play I Am Woman by Pink Martini. And when we come back, I will be speaking with Judy Harden-Shung, who is the corresponding secretary, newsletter editor, and photographer of the Redwood Empire Chinese Association, RECA, and author of the book Poet Choreography, I think I said, a combination of poetry and photography. So let's go ahead, Ken.
I am woman, hear me roar, in numbers too big to ignore, and I know too much to go back and pretend, 'cause I've heard it all before. And I've been down there on the floor, and no one's ever gonna keep me down again. Oh, yes, I am wise, but it's wisdom born of pain. Yes, I paid the price, but look how much I've gained. If I have to, I can't do anything. I am strong, I am invincible. Break me, 'cause it only serves to make me more determined to achieve my final goal. And I will come back even stronger, not a novice any longer, for you've deepened the conviction of my soul. Oh, yes, I am wise, but it's wisdom born of pain. Yes, I've paid the price.
I love that. Just amazing. Well, I'm going to go back a little bit before we start the second segment of the show, and I'm going to talk to you just a little bit about the Chinese Exclusion Repeal Act of 1943. It was also known as the Magazine Act, and it was an immigration law proposed by U.S. Representative Warren G. Mungenson in Washington and signed into law on December 17, 1943 in the United States. It allowed Chinese immigration for the first time since the Chinese Exclusion Act of 1882, where they said, nobody's coming in, and permitted some Chinese immigrants already residing in the country to become naturalized citizens. And this is so funny. I mean, when I looked at it, I said, what? They only allowed 135 Chinese people into the country. I mean, that is just, it's amazing. And like I said, we have many, many Asian people right now because of the wars. Okay, so welcome back. You are listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And for you just joining in, I want to remind my listeners the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinion of the station, its board of directors, its members, and Women's Spaces. Well, I'll say it once again. Welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces. I'm your host, Elaine B. Holt. And without further ado, I want to introduce my guest. Joining me in the studio is Judy Chung, who is going to give us some background on two Chinese women who made a difference in Sonoma County. But Judy, before we begin, welcome. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
And before you do, I just want to give our folks just a little bit of background about you. Judy Harden Chung lives in Santa Rosa. She's a retired teacher who traveled the world with her poetry, which is amazing. When I first met Judy and she handed me her poetry book, I said, oh my God, we're sisters of the soul. She is involved in social and cultural organizations, which give her a wide range of friends and inequality while keeping her own individuality. She is corresponding secretary, newsletter editor, and photographer of the Redwood Chinese Association, RECA. As announced at the beginning of the show, we are honoring Chinese American women who made a difference. And Judy, I understand, welcome. I understand that you chose two of our local women that I had no idea that they had done so much. So let's start with the woman. It's you. What is your name? Song Wong
Boudreau.
Okay. Tell us a little
Barbeau.
Tell us a little bit about her.
Well, Song Wong Barbeau was very important person in Sonoma County history, I believe, because she was a woman who was born 1906 and died 1996. She was the last major representative of the Santa Rosa Chinatown community and was a very successful businesswoman. She ran the Jam Key restaurant for many, many years, and those years were the years when anti-Asian, anti-Chinese sentiment in Santa Rosa was openly violent. And she had her business. She belonged to various social organizations and was a very quiet leader that we may not have heard her name, but she's had a lot of influence on the current attitude towards Asian in Sonoma County, which is one of the better areas for Asians to live now in this difficult time of anti-Asian feelings.
I know. It's amazing. I mean, it's one in Germany, it's the Jews, and all of a sudden it's anti-Asian. I mean, one after another. I mean, you think that we would just look at each other as human beings. Well, what about her inspired you? I mean, what gave you her upliftment about her?
Well, she was herself. She didn't have to be somebody else. She did have the support of her husband and family and all. And she did what she knew how to do, and that was run a business. Her father was considered the head of the Chinese Chinatown, which unfortunately had been destroyed from violence and fire and all. And she had her business, and she did it. She did it well, and people came to see her. And it was, you know, everybody came to see her. It wasn't a problem. And she let people know that she was one of everybody. She wasn't somebody separate.
Well, that is an inspiration. You know, I mean, when you see, especially when you're looking at a minority that this person is a minority, that and all this is going on around her, and yet she's standing up for her people and for her beliefs and becoming somewhat of a peacemaker. Well, who's the next person that you... And by the way, she was born in 1906 and made her transition, I believe, in 1996.
Yes.
So she lived a good life, a good long life. Who was this? Oh, also, there was another thing about her, that right now, many of her memorabilia is now on display. It's called the Showing Chinese Traditions in Santa Rosa, 1890 to 2022. And right now, we're at the Year of the Tiger. Do you know anything about the Year of the Tiger? I know for me, the tiger is a strong one.
A strong person who's very determined, but also is... capable. It's, I mean, they don't just go off rampaging and pillaging. They're quite capable. And the Year of the Tiger was chosen because this year is a Year of the Tiger. We just, in February, had Chinese New Year's. RECA was going to have a celebration, but COVID said we shouldn't, so we didn't. It's been postponed to March 20th. Six, I think it is, a Saturday, and the at the Sonoma County Museum, and they have a display room with many of her things on display so that we can see kind of what was going on in the Year of the Tiger of previous times and the Year of the Tiger today. We have displays, and I was involved in helping create the display along with Nancy Wong with the museum.
And well, that's wonderful. So we can, it will be, the announcement will be on www.womenspaces.com. We'll be happy to put a little flyer up because, and I'm really excited that, you know, it's so important. You know, our history is our strength. And when you see what other people have gone through, what they've done, it gives you courage. Yeah. You know, it gives you confidence. Well, I know the next person is one of your favorite people. That's Frances Locke, right?
Locke.
And she was born in 1928 and recently made her transition in 2021. So talk a little bit about Frances.
Well, Frances was one of my personal friends. I very much liked Frances. And she, just to look at her, if you didn't know her, looked like a typical elder Chinese woman. She was quiet, but oh so pleasant. She was just wonderful. She spent her life being the loving wife and mother to her husband and sons, and they were all extremely successful business people. But she was also one of the co-founders of RECA, the Redwood Empire Chinese Association. And most people don't know, Nancy Wong actually became a member a year or two after it was founded. It was Frances Locke and a few others who actually were the ones who did the founding work. And then Nancy came along, and of course she's extremely involved now. And many years later, I came along, and now I'm involved. But Frances was you wouldn't think very much of what she might do for influence, but in addition to helping start the Redwood Empire Chinese Association, she taught Cantonese language. She was known for being a storyteller to tell stories of her earlier life and her family's life. Her family came from China in the 1880s, went back to China. They had come to Idaho, went back to China, then came to California. And so she lived a very full and active life and was very willing to tell the stories about it. And I think this, along with so many other things that she did, especially with RECA, this was very important today in, again, letting everybody see Chinese people, Chinese culture in a positive, interactive environment. Our dragons in the Rose Parade in previous years, our lions performing for weddings and dances, our storytelling times, our youth group, all of the things that we do at RECA that Frances helped start, that I think this let Sonoma County see Chinese people and culture in a very positive manner and an interactive manner. And this is why I think that now we are considered one of the safest areas in this time of violence against Asians. We have some, but mostly we're considered a very safe place.
Well, thank you, Frances, for all you did. I mean, it's amazing when you hear these women. And like I said, I never had any idea. I mean, I never even in my wildest dream thought there were Asians in the suffrage movement. And to find out about this woman or even in the transgender movement, finding out the second woman who has done so much to get that rolling. And also here we have right in our own community, these very, very strong women who said, hey, look, I'm going to stand up. I have to do something. I have to educate people. And she wasn't just thinking of her people. She was thinking of the community, because the more we understand, the more we integrate, the safer we are. The more, I mean, it's just very exciting to me. Well, I want to thank you for bringing such great information. I mean, you have really turned me on to, understanding a lot about the culture and a lot really understanding it and really seeing some of the amazing contributions. So we're going to take a musical break right now. And another thing I want to tell folks, I'm not a doomsdayer, I really have faith in humanity. I believe that once people wake up and realize that there are alternatives and ways, and I know that there are many, many people out there that are upset about this horrible war, this unnecessary action that is happening. So I thought I would pull an old song out of the woodwork, so to speak, because, it's one thing to declare a war, but the war does not happen without the boots on the ground. Those are the ones who pay it out, Those are the young men and now women. I mean, to me, as far as I'm concerned, the idea of having women on the battlefield and killing other people is mind-boggling, let's put it that way. Well, I remember during the Vietnam War, I heard this song. It was the Universal Soldier sung by Buffy St. Marie. And I'll never forget what she said, how she wrote it. She said she was so distraught, not only because of what happened, she's Native American, not only because all the history behind what happened to the Native Americans in this country, but also all of a sudden seeing all these young men marching off to a war that she really, really was against. And she said she got off a plane and in 5 minutes she wrote this song. And I remember hearing it, and I remember thinking about it and looking at all these little boys. I lived in a neighborhood that had lots and lots of children, and all these little boys running around playing these war games. And I thought to myself, Buffy, you are absolutely right. So what we're going to do, we're going to play the Universal Soldier sung by Buffy St. Marie. And I want us to think, we have to think about this. We have to face reality. Think of those mothers in that hospital, all the women and children who suffer because human beings sign up to do that to one another. This song reminds me of the following lines in the Mother's Day Proclamation written by Julia Ward Howe after going to the battlefield during the U.S. Civil War and seeing all the baskets of cut off arms and legs. Let me read. This is just a small part. Our son shall not be taken from us to unlearn that we have been able to teach them of charity, mercy, and patience. We women of this country will be too tender of those of another country to allow our sons to injure theirs. From the bosom of the devastated earth, a voice goes up with our own. It says, disarm, disarm. The sword is not the balance of justice. Blood does not wipe out dishonor, nor violence indicate possession. We must stop and find another way. Wow. By the way, I'm going to put that on www.womenspaces.com. I'm going to put the whole Mother's Day proclamation because it's more important today than it even was back then, because we have been warring, warring, warring. I love it. Disarm, disarm. The sword is not the balance of justice. So let's go ahead. We're going to listen to Buffy St. Marin singing the Universal Soldier. And I will, when we come back, I will be continuing my conversation with Judy Shung. We'll be talking about her own personal experience and motivation for her involvement in the Redwood Empire Chinese Association, where she is a member and editor of their newsletter. And when I think of Asian women, what always comes to mind is the wars they had to endure. Let's go, Ken.
He's 5'2", and he's 6'4". He fights with missiles and with spears. He's all of 31, and he's only 17. He's been a soldier for 1,000 years. He's a Catholic, a Hindu, an atheist, a Jain, a Buddhist, and a Baptist, and a Jew. And he knows he shouldn't kill, and he knows he always will kill you for me, my friend, and me for you. And he's fighting for Canada, he's fighting for France, he's fighting for the USA, and he's fighting for the Russians, and he's fighting for Japan, and he thinks we'll put an end to war this way. And he's fighting for democracy, he's fighting for the Reds, he says it's for the peace of all. He's the one who must decide who's to live and who's to die, and he never sees the writing on the walls. But without him, how would Hitler have condemned him at Dachau? Without him, Caesar would have stood alone. He's the one who gives his body as a weapon to a war, and without him all this killing can't go on. He's the universal soldier, and he really is to blame, but his orders come from far away no more. They come from him and you and me, and brothers, can't you see? This is not the way we put an end to war.
Oh, my goodness, that song. I mean, I remember when I heard it. It's over 30 years ago. I cried my eyes out. I'm ready to cry again. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces. I'm your host, Elaine B. Holt, and we are going to continue our conversation with Judy Chang, who is the corresponding secretary, newsletter editor, and photographer of the Redwood Chinese Association, RECA, and is also a published poet and just an all-around talented woman. Well, welcome back, Judy. Judy, you know, you've been a member of RECA for a long time. What was the motivation as a Caucasian woman's joining? Talk a little bit about that.
Well, I was married to a Chinese man, and during the time that I got married and all, I was at work sharing an office with a Chinese woman. And she says, why don't you join RECA, because I just married a Chinese man. And so I said, okay, and I joined, and it just worked out marvelously. So we had a lot to give to each other, and that's how I became involved in RECA.
What are some of the challenges that this organization had that you can think of? I mean, how many Chinese members do they have, and do you have an idea of what the population might be like?
We have about 200 families on our mailing list. And I was going to have the number of how many people we have are Asian people in Sonoma County, and I'm afraid I didn't bring that statistic.
Oh, that's okay.
It's quite a few. We have a substantial Asian population, and the Asian organizations all kind of talk to each other, and we have organization things together and all of that, and try to support each other.
Well, what are some of the services and activities? I know we have the, you know, I've been privileged. You know, Nancy Wang always makes sure that that Ken and I know what's going on. So, what are some of the things, the activities that are offered? And I know that there's language for the children. Let us know a little bit about that.
Well, unfortunately, COVID has stopped our school, we haven't started it back up again. But in the past, we've had Mandarin lessons for 30 years, and for quite a while we had Cantonese. That's fading out because the official language now is Mandarin, and Mandarin's taught in the school, so people coming over now all speak Mandarin. We also, for a while, taught Vietnamese so that the Vietnamese children could have some.
Wow, what a blessing that you had something like that. I mean, I know I come from an immigrant family. My grandmother came from, and I can't believe it, Russia, Odessa, you know, by the Ukraine, you know. I mean, it's amazing. But the language is so important that you, when you come into a new country. So really, that's great.
It's also very important because there's the problem that sometimes we don't think about. The children learn to speak the language of the parents. They go to school and they're taught English. And they're also taught that you speak English is preferable to speaking the language of the parents.
The native language.
Sometimes the kids decide they're not going to speak the language of their parents because they are American kids. And they are, you know, the parents who are Chinese or other ethnicities have a problem with getting their children to understand and value their heritage instead of the newly adopted country. And we try to help with that transition, both to give the children and parents pride in who and what they are. We have an adult chorus that sings and performs publicly to give self-esteem as well as a venue for their talents for adults. Our youngest adult that was part of the chorus briefly was an 8-year-old grandchild. So we don't always stick to the conventional concepts of age.
I want to insert something, how important that thing of the language is, because my grandmother, when she came, we're Americans. You know, they were actually, what I recognized when they did that is that there was a certain level of shame. Like you said, there's a certain level of shame. You're coming from another country. You can't speak the language. You know, all kinds of things happen around that. Well, you know, the clock is ticking very, very quickly. And I know that there's two things that we must talk about. And that's, there's an upcoming event that RC, that they're going to be doing. If you could talk about that a little bit. And also, as if you're not busy enough, you're now on the nominating committee for the Poet Laureate here in Sonoma County. So let's talk about what's going on with RECA, what their event is.
Okay, I mentioned earlier that we have a Chinese New Year celebration every year.
I'm so happy it's happening.
And this year, because of COVID and everything else, we have moved it from the Vets Memorial Building, which we offered a big catered dinner and all that. We're having an afternoon free event at Sonoma County Museum. It's a give-as-you-choose event. All donations of people participating will
be... I like that, give-as-you-choose.
Yeah, and we had a preliminary February 5th event that was highly successful. It was monumentally successful. And this one, we're going to have martial arts demonstrations. The lions and the dragons will dance. We're going to have traditional music and this traditional dance. It's an outside event, so no chorus. It doesn't do well outside. The sound doesn't carry well enough. But we'll also have tables for traditional Chinese paper cutting and origami with Henry Kaku. He's Japanese, but like I say, our cultures interact with each other, and calligraphy. So these are all three do-it-yourself, take-home souvenirs.
And also, they can see that exhibit.
Oh, yes.
The exhibit.
It's free entry into the museum on that day, and they have the usual exhibits, and one room is dedicated to Santa Rosa traditions and focused on Year of the Tiger, mostly with items that have been donated from San Juan Berdrau, and a few of the items are donated for this exhibit from RECA, and my photographs, I'll put that in. The photographs you see in the exhibit were taken by me.
Well, I mean, that I am so excited about this. Not only that, it's only right down the street from us. We can actually walk to the museum,
yes.
So that'll be good. Well, another hat you're wearing. Well, how can they find out information? Is there a website? Is there something they can go, people can go to?
RECACenter.org.
Okay, and that'll be also on Women's Spaces.
So Women's Spaces and RECACenter.org. I suspect you'll be able to find it on Museum of Sonoma County on there.
And it also will be listed. I'm going to take that flyer. We'll go ahead and we'll scan it and we'll put it on our website. Okay, so we're coming to the end of this segment so quick I can't stand it. If you can just do a few words about the Poet Laureate event that's happening then.
Poet Laureate of Sonoma County is now open for nominations. If you know somebody who is a poet, please go to admin@sebarts.org. That's admin@sebarts.org. And it gives you the qualifications of what we're looking for and how you can nominate your favorite Sonoma County poet and send the information back to the same website, admin@sebarts.org, admin@sebarts.org.
Right, and that'll all be on Women's Spaces, www.womenspaces. We would, and you know, it's an opportunity, you know, and I want to do a shout out. Our poet laureate, who I happen to know personally, and I'll tell you something, she is just fabulous, is Phyllis Meshlam, and she is the current poet laureate of Sonoma County. Well, folks, that's it for our show. And Judy Chung, is there any last words, any way people can get a hold of you, anything you'd like to say very quickly?
Well, everything's on RECACenter.org, and my contact information. I answer lots of questions, and thank you very much for this opportunity.
Well, I want to thank you, Judy Chung, for being on here. It's been a wonderful, wonderful conversation. And to all of my Asian women friends out there, thank you all for that you do. This is Elaine B. Holt. You've been listening to Women's Spaces. Thank you so much for listening.
The woman in your life is you.
The previous Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, March 14th, 2022.